Palestinian. My mom and dad were from a town called Beitunia, next to Ramallah. And I can remember them telling me my grandfather was here in the 1800s. And my great-grandfather. My grandfather was here in the 1900s. And I had an old father. He was born 1907. And a mom that was born 1936. These are important years for me to understand why it is my mother does what she did. See, I was raised in a very, very, very abusive family. I was raised with an abusive mother that I understand today that she was sick with a disease of depression. Back when I was growing up here in Chicago, there were no Arab schools. There was no Muslim mosques. We opened up a storefront here in Chicago, and they used to close it. The so-called American closed our schools down because they didn't know too much about the Muslims back in the 60s. And every time we opened one up, they would close it. And we fought for it, you know. We fought in the streets for it in downtown Chicago and picketed. And this is where I learned how to the Quran. I learned how to study the Quran and read Arabic and write Arabic, which today I could read Arabic, but I really don't understand what I read, but I could read. I thought it was okay for a parent to hit their kids, but I didn't know, you see. I didn't understand why I was tortured the way I was. And I figured it was probably the Muslim religion. It was okay to torture your kids. I really believe this now. But the way she did it was in a very inhumane way. She would take the hangers from the closet, the steel hangers, and she put it on the stove for a little while, you know. And she'd burn me on my arms, my legs, and it was okay, because I thought it was okay. And she would tie me up. Tie my hands up and throw me in the closet for 2 or 3 days, you know, with no food, no water, you know, and it's okay. I really thought that was okay because this is the Muslim way. Yeah, I thought it was okay for to be thrown in a closet or in the basement, tied to the pole. You got these little poles in the basement, you know, to be tied in the poles in the basement. You know, and I remember in the middle of the night, she'd make us stand. She'd make me and my sister stand with our hands up in the air like this for like 8, 9, 10 hours, you know. And every time my hands would come down, I would get whacked with the air conditioner wire across my back, you know. And I went to school with these marks, you know, and I had to hide them because I'm a Muslim. I'm the only Muslim. I'm the only Arab in school. I grew up in a, quote, white school, you know. And I wanted to be a part of something. All my life, I always wanted to be a part of something because I was different than everybody else. I started hanging out with a bad group of guys in school. And I was introduced to marijuana and alcohol. And the first time I ever drank, I believe I was an addict. I was an alcoholic the first time because it took me away from the feelings. I didn't want to feel no more. I didn't want to feel the pain and misery that I've lived in my household. And that was my love. Alcohol and drugs were my love. That was my heart. That was everything. It took me away from the world because I was so scared to feel. I was scared to be who I am today, you know, who I was. I didn't want to be me. I was always looking for love. I didn't know. My mother never grabbed me and said, "I love you." Never. I never. Till this day, I'm 40, and till this day, I don't know what it is to be held in somebody's arms and say, "I love you." You know, I don't know, because I never had it in my family. So I ran the streets. You know, my dad died on my birthday, 1972, July 3rd. He died with my picture in his hand. That's all I know. All I know about my father was he was a great man. He was a poet, and everybody loved him. And after he died, I think about a couple weeks later, I think I was tied up again and thrown in down the stairs in the basement. And, she took a knife and stabbed me in my elbow. And she stabbed me in the knee, too. Well, to this day, I can see these scars, you know. And I said, "Hey, Mom, remember this? You know, remember my arm? Remember? Why did you do that?" She goes, go ask your father that's in his grave. I said, oh, okay. You know, I don't understand the woman really too much, but God forgive her. God forgive my mind. God forgive her. So I was in the streets of Chicago, raised up with a bunch of hardcore guys. I grew up down the street from these bikers, and they all did drugs. And I thought it was cool to do drugs, because I want to be just like them. Cool. Then I started running around with the Chicago street gangs, looking for love, looking for something. I don't know what it was. I was always looking for something. I couldn't find it, you know, and it got me more and more trouble. My substance abuse became very bad. It was really bad. It just got worse and worse. To make it short, actually, it's gotten me 55 arrests. It's gotten me 55 arrests, 5 trips to the penitentiary. I'm not ashamed, though. I'm not ashamed. I'm so glad. I'm so glad I went through what I went through. I've been shot 4 times working for Muslims in liquor stores. I've been shot 4 times in the legs. You know, I can't bend this leg right here. As far as it goes, you know, from the liquor business. This is all I knew how to do, working for relatives, because I had to make some money because I had no dad. And Mom couldn't even speak English, really. We had to have some money. I started working at 12 years old after school, running the stores in the ghettos of Chicago. In the projects, State Street, and all over, Madison Street, wherever I can make a dime, wherever I can make some money. Actually, at 17, I dropped out of school. I dropped out of high school because I played football for 2 years. I was a pretty good football player. But we didn't have no money, and then I started working at Denny's, busboy, whatever, and I didn't like it, so I joined the Marine Corps. I joined the United States Marine Corps, and after my boot camp, we were getting shipped out to Lebanon back in 1982. And about 3 of my friends, we all went to Lebanon on the USS New Jersey. And one of my friends got killed in the bombing. I was there in 1982 when that big bombing happened. We lost 248 men. And there was God again taking me, giving me another chance at life. You know, I came out of the Marine Corps, and I went straight to Israel. And I wanted to show that I'm not such an American. I want to be an Arab. So I married an Arab girl. That was in my 8th grade. That was a distant relative that I helped in my 8th grade. I even let her cheat off my paper. She sat next to me. I used to show her my paper. This is what it is, the Constitution of America. I'd show her so she can graduate. Well, we met up back in Batunia. We got married, but it was under false pretenses, actually. I believe her father was after some of the land that my father left me, you know, and it just didn't work out. And my alcoholism escalated because I really thought alcohol and drugs were it. I thought it was really cool, you know, and I just seen these people here. I'm like, why are they so happy? It's the alcohol. Okay, so I ran with that, and I kept drinking and drugging. You know, and it's gotten me into a lot of trouble. You know, I ran with a lot of street gangs, and it's gotten me, like I said, it's put me in prison most of my adult life, you know. I got a sister. She ran away at 16. She's a gospel singer right now. She sings, oh, yeah. She kept telling me, you're going to be a Christian one day. You're going to be a Christian one day. You see, I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm a Muslim. What are you talking about? She's a pretty well-known gospel singer. She sings on Channel 26 sometimes in the mornings. With Reverend Brazier's church over there on Stony Island in 63rd and 67. But now she's in Indianapolis. How I came to know Jesus was I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, 2 years ago I was dying. Literally, this time I believed my doctors. This time I believed them that I'm going to die. And I knew it. I had a really, really bad drug problem also with my alcoholism. I was up to $200 a day of heroin. I smoked so much crack cocaine that it was going to be, I'm going to be honest with you people. I don't know you too much, but I'm going to be honest and show you the power of God. You know, See, in Alcoholics Anonymous, They don't say you got to be a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew. As long as you believe in something higher than yourself, a power greater than yourself, that can restore your sanity, whatever it may be. There was a guy, I remember about 1986 when I first got introduced to the program, he used to bring a rock and put it right there on the table and say, this is my higher power. This is going to keep me sober. Well, God bless you, you know. Whatever keeps you sober. Maybe if you keep coming around, you might start believing in God. If that's what it takes, well, that's what it takes. It's taken me 55 arrests and 5 prison terms to finally quit. And I still didn't want to quit because this is a disease. It's a biological, psychological, social disease. This is a disease in the brain, the mind, the body, the soul. The Trinity, like you said. It's tri. And it was actually AA that brought me closer to God. See, I tried Buddhism. I tried it. I tried anything. I tried even getting dunked in a sink one time. But it wasn't in my heart. I tried everything, but it didn't match. It wasn't in my heart, it wasn't in my head, in my brain. It wasn't. I just tried everything. Yeah, nothing worked for me. I was always looking for. And I got me a couple of years sobriety. I just celebrated 2 years and 6 days, actually, this time around. I've tried it other ways. I tried to do it my way. I tried to do it their way. And so I did it the right way, their way. You know, I did what they told me to do, and I did it the right way. And thank God for God. And I always thank God for AA. Because if it wasn't for that, see, I knew I always did believe in a God. I did always, growing up, believe in a God. But it wasn't in my heart. 2 years ago, I really was going to die. I was dying from cirrhosis of the liver with hepatitis C. I was dying. And the doctor said, guess what, Ray? You're going to die. I go, so what? I'm going to die someday. I didn't care. I'm going to die drinking and drugging. He sat me down. We had a really long talk. You know, and he says, if you could just stop drinking one day, you know, and meet this one guy. Well, he introduced me to a few guys, actually, and they've been helping me through the past few years. I was laying in a hospital bed in Christ Community Hospital, tied up to the bed, you know, shackled to the bed. My feet and my hands were shackled because I had to go through the withdrawals of the heroin and alcoholism. And I'm looking at this guy next to me, and he's getting up to use the bathroom, and he falls down. And I'm like, man, is he messed up? Look at him. And then I had to look at me. I'm like, well, look at me. I'm tied up in the bed. What's the difference? I'm like, who am I to judge anybody, you know? Then the phone rings, and it's a kid that I grew up with that I used to run the streets with. We and him used to rob, we used to steal, we used to whatever it took to get money to help our boys out to get the drugs and alcohol. I've heard this guy made it because he went to a program, and I told him, I cried to him, I said, Paul, and he speaks Arabic too. He's an American guy, and he speaks Arabic because his mother took him to the Holy Land, and I used to hang out with him for many, many years. But I haven't seen him in 20 years. And thank God for him, too, because he's been helping me through the past few years get through my hard times. And he's my best friend, you know. I said, who called you? To the guy next to me in the bed, I said, who called you? He said, a guy named Paul. He's my sponsor. So I said, Paul what? He says, Paul Anderson. I said, Paul Anderson, that's my best friend. Please, man, give me his number. I need help. And I'm crying. I need help. You know. He says, well, this is what I do to stay sober and clean. I go to meetings and stuff like that. And I said, okay, I'm willing to do anything. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I just don't want to die. So I started hanging out with him. And we started an organization. We had it in our hearts to help people out. My sponsor, I got a sponsor. He's a Christian. And he knows I'm a Muslim. And he came to my house and saw my mom and everything. And I used to explain to him why she's like that and everything. But he told me, Ray, you need to do something to help other people. So when you feel like doing drugs, by helping other people, it'll get yourself out of yourself. So he suggested I run the homeless shelter. I said, okay, I was homeless. And I remember this gentleman that was here today singing, the tall guy from, I remember him from downtown, the homeless shelter. That's Pacific Garden Mission. You know, I remember. I was kind of foggy in the head, but I remember him. And I told him, I remember you from there. when I needed a bologna sandwich on the streets. I remember him, you know. And I didn't know what to do. My friend pulls up to Moraine Valley College. I had no education because I didn't like to go to school. He comes out with these books, and I thought we're going to paint the school because my friend has a painting company. I'm like, cool, we're going to paint the whole college. He comes out with books. I'm like, what the heck? What am I going to do with these books? You know I don't like school. You're going to get your GED. I said, GED? So I ran with it. I did what it takes. I got my GED. What am I going to do when I grow up? I was 37. Right now I'm 40. This is only a couple years ago. What am I going to do when I grow up? I don't know what to do. I don't know what kind of trade. I know how to ring a register. I know how to sell liquor. I know how to order liquor. I know how to cut meat and all the other stuff. What do I know best? I know alcohol and I know drugs. So, right now, today, I'm getting my certificate as an addictions counselor. I run a homeless shelter. I'm a mentor at the Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. I help little kids, teenagers, gangbangers get out of gangs, get their GEDs like I did. I show them what I did to stay sober. You know, and I have a foundation. It's a nonprofit organization. Me and my friend Paul, it's called the Hope for Children Foundation. We raise money for sick kids in Children's Memorial Hospital and Hope Children's Hospital. But then there was this guy I met, too, that's been going to this church. And Ray, you got to see this church. I go, man, I'm a Muslim. Man, I don't go to no churches. He says, you just got to come and see how cool it is, man. The pastor there is cool. And I'm like, okay, let's check it out. And I heard, and I seen the sincerity in this pastor. I seen that this guy is for real. And he's not after my pocket. He's not after the money in my pocket. I'm like, well, you know, I was always a skeptic. And but I sat and listened to him for like 6 months. And while I was going to this church, I was healed from the cirrhosis and from the hepatitis C. It's out of my blood system. They had a drug that came out, and they say, we don't know if it's going to work or not. And many guys have died on this medication, in the process of this medication. Are you willing to take it? I said, I'm willing to do anything to live so I can spread the message of hope, that there is hope for people like me. There is hope, you know. And there was some miracle, and I just, today I tell you, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. This is all I can tell you, that I do believe that He's taken me away from 5 prison terms. See, I'm supposed to be doing life in prison. See, after 55 arrests, you should be doing life in prison. But God took me away from all that. And He brought me this far. Not to kill me, not to let me die, but to spread the message of hope to people that are suffering. They suffer from the disease of addiction. Today, I'm an A student. I got a 4.0 grade point average. I can't believe it myself. I really can't believe it. But my doctors and professors at school say, you better not go nowhere. And we got to handcuff you, and we're going to keep you because you're changing people's lives. You're changing people's lives. You're a miracle that you're alive today. And I truly believe it is nothing far but a miracle of God. I never believed in miracles. Yeah, I hear you. I heard it and I heard it and I, yeah, okay, miracles, until it happened to me. Until I know, see, I know I was dying. And I knew I was going to die. But what am I going to die? What are they going to put in my stone? He died of addiction? He died using drugs and alcohol? No. I don't think that would look too good. You know. I am so blessed. So blessed just to wake up in the morning.
Who talked to you about Christ?
My sister used to tell me about it. I got a brother that's in the White House. He used to work 20 years in the White House. He's 10 years in the Pentagon and 10 years in the Secretary of Defense. And he used to tell me little bits and pieces here and there. He's a Christian too.
Oh, thank
the Lord. See, he's my brother from my father's first marriage. And he was sent to a place called Boys Town. When he was a bad kid, my father sent him there. But when he was there, he ran away and joined the Air Force. And he's a 40-year man. And he's still in the Air. I mean, I don't know what he does. He don't tell me. Maybe it's because I'm Palestinian. I don't know. And might think I'm one of them terrorists. I don't know. You know. But we don't really talk politics. You know. He's Palestinian, too. You know. But my sister, you know, is a big influence on me. Very big influence on me. She's a miracle herself. She was the one that was beaten up all the time, and I really feel for the women of Islam. I feel sorry for them. They are something. I mean, I have a heart for women. I don't know what it is. All my life and all my bad things I've done, I've never disrespected women. I respect them with the utmost respect, because the pain and misery they go through, I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it in the Middle East, in Egypt. I've seen it in Syria. I've seen it in my own country, in Palestine. I see it here, too. Actually, we're opening up a battered women's shelter for women that are getting beat up by their husbands, you know. And it's only through the grace of God, only through the grace of God, that I'm standing here today. Because I used to think, man, if I was God, I would have killed me a long time ago. For the things I did, if I was God, I would have killed me a long time ago. But there's a reason. There is. I truly believe that there's a reason. And the reason is to do His will. I don't know what it is, but I'm learning. I became a Christian about a month and a half ago. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior about a month and a half ago. You know, and in a month and a half, my friends see a big difference in me. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I don't know. They say it. See, I don't know. They do. But today I need to learn to stay humble and to spread this beautiful word around to these guys, you know. Because I deal with a lot of teens that are really rough. I thought I was rough enough to get these guys are pretty rough these days, you know. But God is good. So far, every time I get a teen, He's doing really good. So I think this is my calling. I'm not sure, but I hope it's my calling. And I'm reaching kids. And I tell them, you don't have to do what I did. You can do this one time only. You know, you don't have to go through the pain and misery that I went through. You know, you can do it one time, guys. And you know what I learned? It's by grabbing these little guys and giving them a hug. And just showing them love. True, sincere, unconditional, positive regard. Positive love, real, no matter what, you guys, I still love you. I don't care if you go out and party, as long as you come back. You know, come back, and let me, you know, we'll try it again. You know, I have a little free time sometimes. I take them out fishing and stuff like that, because I love the fish. That's my heart. I love the fish. I'm a fisherman. I love taking these kids out, you know, they're beautiful guys. And all they do need is a little love. They're lost. You know, that's all they need is a little love. I thank Jesus Christ for being here today. And I thank you people for letting me get up here and talk. I appreciate it. It's 4:30. I asked Jafar to prepare three questions that Muslims usually ask and the answers. And I think he's ready. Huh? You have only 20 minutes. That's all.
I believe the Lord is Almighty. Really, indeed, He works in many amazing ways. I myself was actually going to be killed by my own dad when I was a baby, because I used to eat a lot and never stop eating. But now I'm cooked for you. But when the Lord has something for you, He has something for you. A human being cannot take your life, because the Lord, your life is in the Lord's hand from the beginning, because He knows the people that belongs to Him. And we want to thank you. And okay, before we welcome you again, I am from a Muslim background. My name is Jafar Sharif. The Lord saved me about 17 years ago in 86. And if I know that I'm going to speak or to share my testimony, I would have asked you to bring two bottles of Tylenol. So otherwise, because I have a long road. But indeed, the Lord is Almighty. He not only saved me, but as He saved you and changed you, I can say indeed for the last 17 years that the hand of the Almighty God, our Lord Jesus, in a very practical way in my life, of a cleaning, disciplining, squeezing, I don't want to say torturing, but all the time He's putting me through the furnace. And the fire always cleans and makes you shine. And that's what makes Christ so unique.
Yeah.
Different than the rest of the guys. And simply I got saved by seeing the Lord Jesus after a long road of searching the truth, to find the truth in religions. But Christ, after 6 months of fighting, searching, digging, I got to nowhere. Where is the truth? And who can tell me where is the truth? A human being likes to be proud of himself, proud of his religion. They're saying his religion is the right religion. He used to believe that everybody's going to go to hell. Only the Muslims be going to go to heaven. Because they are so super suspicious. But I found out, I said, okay, what about if I'm born in a Buddhist family? Do I have to go to hell because I'm not a Muslim? And why the Buddhist has to go to hell because he's not a Muslim? So all these questions I used to ask, the bottom line, I had to go to the only one who knows the truth. It's the truth himself. And the only one who knows the best direction to his heaven. I went to the Almighty God, shouting, crying, fighting with him, tearing my clothes and pulling my hair and hitting the stove, the refrigerator, pointing my fingers to God from the window, where are you? Until I found that the truth is Christ, I am the way and the truth and the life. By seeing the Lord Jesus coming from heaven, he's riding the cloud, opening his hand like on the cross and coming down. Powerful, huge. And I was waking up the people to look at him. This is my short story. But that's the same vision that brought me to Christ. After 6 months of struggling to find the truth, the Lord reminded me of one thing, that I had testified that God has came on earth when I was 6 years old. My dad used to have a little shop, and I used to go steal some candy from over there. So as I came out of the shop, I went to run to my mom, to the house where she's in the house, because the shop used to be in the same place. The shab probably 10 by 10. And as I came out, it was so short and little, I looked, all of a sudden, a huge man in front of me, wearing a white robe. He was a little chubby and tall, so with that robe, that's not a dream, that's a reality. With that robe, a little chubby and tall, he was huge. So when I just almost bumped into him and I looked, a huge person in front of me, I shouted, I cried, scared, and I said, God has come on earth. And I ran to my mom and said, come on and see. God has come on earth. Allah aj'al ard. The same vision I saw, Christ come from heaven, awaken up to people to look at him. I was trying to bring my mom to look at God. That tells you that God has a plan for our lives. God's not sleeping. Wherever we're born, God has a destiny for us. And we praise the Lord that he has brought us from the darkness into his kingdom. And I'm sure every one of us has a testimony to tell. But there is questions that I have asked, and Muslims ask, and a lot of Muslims ask you. I'm sure you heard that. Is Christ is God? Did Christ die on the cross? Have Christ ever said that he is God? A lot of Muslims say that. Even the one who serves Satan, Jehovah's Witnesses, denying the deity of Christ. But we want to see that really Jesus is God. Did he say that he is God? And we're going to see it through the Quran and the Bible. In the chapter of Ali Imran and verse 48, because the Quran is saying, قال عيسى إني آتيكم في آية من ربكم إني أخلق لكم من الطين كيد الطير فأنفخ فيه فيكون طيرا فيطير بإذن الله. Jesus said, I will create, I'll bring a miracle to you, or a sign from God that I will make. He's the one who brought, I will make. I will create, not I will make. Inni akhluqu lakum. Muslims say, oh, this is a miracle. That God, that Jesus, that bear, that mud became a bear and a fly. They say, this is a miracle. This is not a miracle. If Jesus brought the mud, form it in the form of bear, throw it in the wind, and then the mud became a bear and a fly, this is a miracle. Like Moses, throw the stick and the stick became a snake. That's a miracle. But Jesus did not do that. He said, I will breathe into it, and then it will become a bear and it will fly. Combine that with how God made Adam, form him from the mud, breathe into him, and then became a living soul. That's why Jesus did not say, according to Quran, regardless if it's right or wrong, that I will breathe into it. And he said, I will create. He didn't say, I will imitate creation. He didn't say, I will make. He said, I will create you. The one who is bringing the sign is the same one. He said, Inni atikum, inni akhluqu lakum. The same one is the one he is creating. Here we see that when say, فَأَنْفُقُ فِيهِ, nobody else put the spirit in that mud. Only Jesus. It أَنْفُقُ فِيهِ أَنَا, I breathe into it. So, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنُ الرُّوحِ قُلُ الرُّوحِ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. They will ask you, I don't know how the translation in English. Of the Spirit, they say the Spirit is God's authority or God's matter. So how Christ, if he is a human being, just a human being, how can he give a Spirit? How he can create? Only God can give the Spirit. That's why he didn't say, I will imitate or I will make, أختلقوا أو أصنعوا أو أعملوا. But he say, I will create to you. Here we see, if we look at also, in Al Imran 44, saying that, Ya Maryam, in Allah yubashiruki bi kalimatin minhu ismu al-Masih. Don't say ismuha, but say ismu. The angel will carry a good news to you. The word of God, his name is Christ. But this here, this word is not a written word, it's not a spoken word. That is a being. Christ is a being. It's not word and paper. So when we look at it, that even Muslims believe that the greatness of God is manifested in His word. Because God created everything by kun fayakun, by His word. Which is, as the pastor said, even is wrong. Kun fakan. Muhammad, kun fayakun, grammatically is wrong. But in His, God created all things through His word. And this word here is not spoken, it's not written, it's a being. That shows that Jesus, the word of God, through Him, all things was made, all things was created. And we know that in the Bible. So if God creates all things by His word, and His word is a living, that the word of God was? It was in God. When? Since when? Eternally. So this, the word of God, Christ, is in God, in God eternally, as God is eternal. So that's why this word is eternal word, and by it, God has made all things. And in no way that God one day, He is without a word, and then someday one day he decided he want to be with a word. But the word of God, which is Christ, is in God eternally. And through him, before anything was existed, Christ, the word of God, he was in God, with God, eternally. Where I'm going with this, it shows that even in the Bible, is it clear that Jesus is the Creator? And we have many scriptures to prove it. But I'm going to use one for you. In Luke chapter 2 verse 11, it shows that, to make it shorter, that a son will be born, his name Christ the Lord. Follow me on this. Christ the Lord. In Isaiah 9:6, that son is given Ilahan Qadiran. في لوك 2:11 المسيح الرب في إشعياء 9:6 إلها قديرا the Lord in Luke and in Isaiah he is God. So combine them together, Christ being given two titles, the Lord God. When you go back to Genesis, where is creation have, where creation took place, you'll see in Genesis 2:8 the Bible said, and the Lord God has formed Adam. So, who made you and me? Who made you and made me and made everything? Is Christ the Lord. The Lord God has formed Adam. That shows that He is the one who created the human being and He created everything. And you look at Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, almost to the end, you'll see, by him and for him, all things were created. Who is this Christ if he's just a human being? Just a prophet. Muhammad came and put him on the shelf. How he can be getting that titles, the Lord God, and all things by him and for him was created. Jesus is the creator. By being the creator, Creator Al-Khaliq, ism min asma Allah al-Husna 99, one of the 99 names for God of Islam, or the Muslim have, is Al-Khaliq, the Creator. So that what that tells us, that Christ is the Creator, He is God. And there is many, many scriptures to prove from the Bible, but we cannot bring it right now. In John 8:24, Jesus make it clear. Now we're going to come to Christ. That Christ said he is God. Jesus make it clear that he is God. First of all, he said, unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sin. إِلَّمْ تُؤْمِنُوا أَنِّي أَنَهُ تَمُوتُونَ فِي خَطَيَاكُمْ. Unless you believe that I am, before Abraham, I am. When I was talking to Moses, I am that I am. So Christ is I am. How he can make statement, you die sinner, you go down to hell if you don't believe in my deity, he said. Unless you believe that I am, there is another side of the story, which is you die sinner. You're going down to hell without Christ. Which prophet can make that statement and tell me, is any prophet in history made that statement? None. Furthermore, Christ in Revelation 21, verse 6 to 8, he said, whoever come shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. You tell me Christ never said he is God? In Revelation 21, 6 to 7, he said, who inherit? Who overcome shall inherit all things. من يغلب يرث كل شيء وأنا أكون له إلها ويكون لي ابنا. I will be his God. So if a Muslim tells you, or a Jehovah Witness, or anybody tries to explain to you, Jesus never said that he is God, tell him, let me show you. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Who overcome shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. That settled it. No matter whatever they said, Christ, he made it clear. And there is many, I guarantee you, from the first page to the last page of the Bible, there is tons and tons of proof that Christ is the one, the only one. Furthermore, in Revelation 22:3, and he would like, somebody has English Bible to read for me, because that's important. Revelation, I'm almost done. Revelation 22, verse 3. Amen. Here, the throne of God and the Lamb. Notice here, it did not say the thrones or the throne of God, the throne of the Lamb, and His servant shall serve Him. It's two made one. One plus one is one. The throne of God and the Lamb. One throne. And that His servant shall serve Him. That word in the Greek language is literio. Literio, if you look at serving or worshiping in other parts of the Bible, that word will never be given to a submission, a human to submit to human, or somebody to serve somebody, Aaron to serve Moses. No. This literio only is given to God. And when that servant serving the Lamb who's sitting on the throne, what that makes? Christ. That makes Christ is the one, even still in heaven, he is worshipped. So either there is two gods or the same one. And if there's two gods, the bigger is going to destroy the smaller. That's Job is saying, Jesus, small God. That the bigger one is going to destroy the small one. And God make it clear in Isaiah, He said, I am the one, I am the only Savior, and my glory I give to no one. So how Christ is going to claim so many things does not belong to Him. For sure, the bigger God is going to destroy the smaller God, but He is the same one. God and the Lamb, one throne. And that literally was given only to God, because Christ is worthy and He is deity, not just a regular prophet. Final question, that Christ died. Muslims say, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّعَ لَهُمْ. Christ did not die, did not crucify Him, it appeared to them. But I'm going to make it quickly here. That says, look, شُبِّعَ لَهُمْ. Let's say that saying that God sent someone, Muslims believe that God sent someone looks like Jesus to be replaced for Jesus. And that's how Jesus got away and went up to heaven without being crucified. But look here, this is absolutely, you tell these four things to the Muslims, either he has to become a Christian or he walk away, one way or another. First of all, God is not too weak to send somebody look like Jesus to save Jesus. He's Almighty God. If he wants to save Jesus, he could have taken him from them and it's over. And more proof to these people that this is mine, you cannot touch him. Another thing, for God to send someone looks like Jesus is showing that God is very weak. He's a slick God that he has to fool them in order to save Jesus. It's like he has to do something sneaky because he's too weak. He cannot save him straight. He has to fool them. Send somebody look like him, look like Jesus, so you can save Jesus. That is, does not make sense. Third, the Jews tried to kill Jesus. Killing a prophet, according to Muslims, that's Zulm Kabir. That's a huge crime. Does God once, on top of that, say, you are bad people, you are evil people, you want to kill my prophet, don't kill him. Here, somebody look like him, kill him for me. It means God is agreeing with their crime. God agreeing with their crime. They say, you're killers, you want to kill my prophet, on top of that, don't touch him. Here, somebody look like him, do something. Exactly, he's helping him. God is helping them to go with their crime. And what for that somebody look like him has to be killed? What for? Another, the last one, Christ, he has